You know, today, I guess since we're getting closer to Christmas, I thought today would be a great day to kind of talk about what the real message or the real reason for the season is. And so as you think about that, I want you to kind of contemplate, what would you say if somebody asked you, what's the real reason for Christmas? I mean, what's the whole point of it? Why do we get so excited? It's not because of Santa Claus, right? It's not because of all the lights. It's not because of all the presents. It's not because of all that kind of stuff. So biblically, what is the real reason for the season? And I think I can summarize it for you in three words. It's that you matter to God. And I think that's a powerful message to kind of resonate with, that you matter in the midst of life as you live it right now, in the midst of all your hurts, in the midst of your struggles, your worries, your stresses, your anxieties, your fears, in the midst of everything going on, stuff that you can't find the answers to under the Christmas tree usually, right? Just in the midst of everything, that you matter to God. And that's why he sent you Jesus so many years ago. You know, it's the greatest gift that God ever gave us, to see us in our mess and to send his only son into this world to save us. That's a powerful thing. And as you think about that word gift, it's probably a word that you're going to hear a lot about, or you've heard a lot about over the last month as you've looked all overly frantically, right, for that perfect gift for that perfect person, trying or not so much trying to stay within some kind of gift budget, right? But have you ever thought about those gifts within a gift? Anybody ever get one of those? Gift within a gift. My buddies, one of the people in my buddy's church came back from Russia one time and gave him one of those Russian dolls, right? And it had a Yeltsin on the outside, and he opened up and there was a Brezhnev on the inside, and there was a Stalin, and then there was a little tiny little Lenin on the inside. Or maybe more practically for us, a few years ago, my wife was opening up a gift and she got some gloves, and she liked the gloves and they were cool. And as she put her hands in the gloves, she suddenly got more excited about the gift because there was a $20 bill in each of the fingers. And so all of a sudden that was a pretty cool gift. Well, Jesus is kind of a similar kind of gift. You get the gift of Jesus, but there's so many gifts that you get with him, so many amazing things. And so we're going to use this text today, and we're going to kind of share with you three of them that I think so often we miss, even as Christians, as we celebrate this season, as we celebrate Jesus coming. So often I think we miss these, and I just want to make sure you celebrate in this Christmas, that you actually receive these gifts. So let me start with the text. For the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you the most joyful news ever announced, and it's for everybody. Today your Savior is born. He is Christ the Lord. So give glory to God in heaven and on earth, and let there be peace among the people who please God." I do think it's one of the most significant things that he does here is he starts the words, "Do not be afraid." Now, I think as you kind of cursorily look at our culture, you think, well, nobody's afraid of God. I mean, nobody cares about hell. Nobody cares about following him. Nobody cares. Otherwise, our world wouldn't be the way it is. But that's not quite true. As I've talked to people about the relationship with God over the years, I think there's sometimes a lot of fear in a lot of people about God. Afraid that he won't answer. Afraid that he won't forgive this one sin that they are having a hard time forgiving themselves for. Afraid that if they died right now, they might not make it to heaven because of that sin. Afraid that he doesn't see the situation that's going on. Afraid that he won't be there when they most need him. Afraid that they're paying it for, or he's judging them for some sin in the past, and that's why bad things keep happening. Sometimes there's just this fear, you know, you bring us in the midst of all that we are, in the midst of a holy God, and all of a sudden we're very cognizant of our stuff. There's even this habit of blaming God for all the bad and taking credit for all the good, right? And we start blaming God for stuff that Satan's doing, but we don't know what else to do, and we're afraid of him, so we kind of attribute stuff to him as well. But as you look at this text, man, you see that Jesus didn't come to scare us. He came to save us. That he sent Jesus to save us from our problems and from our sins and from our fears and from our worries, to save us too from hell, to save us from all of it. And sometimes you wonder, why did God come as a baby? You know, why does he come as a human being? And I think that I was thinking about that the other day. I kind of heard this one story one time that, you know, if God wanted to minister to cows, he would have come as a cow, right? If he wanted to minister to birds, he would have come as a bird. But because he wanted to minister to you guys, he came as a human being so that there would be no confusion how much he loves you, so that he could share exactly how much he loves you through his words, show you exactly how much he loves you through his death, so that he could say in no uncertain terms how much you matter to him. And can I look at Jesus as I look at him and I say, this is what God's like. You know, this is the kind of God that I have that pursues me with his love, that cares about me so much that he came to change everything. You start asking, why did he come as a baby? I think part of it so that nobody would be afraid of him, so that we could hear him at face value. So he came into this world the same way all of us do, as a baby. But again, I like this whole idea of as a gift within a gift, because again, when you receive Jesus, you receive all these things. And so I'm going to talk about three gifts that sometimes we don't celebrate, that we don't receive when it's Christmas time. And I think this first one, a lot of us are guilty in church about. But he came to give the gift of happiness. I want you to think about that for a second. That's not his goal for our life, make us happy. But he came to give us the gift of happiness. And this is why I say this. I bring you the most joyful news ever announced. I mean, that'd be greater than if the Detroit Lions were announced the Super Bowl champions. Can you imagine? All of Michigan will have a heart attack. They really will. This is just something that would be unprecedented. It is amazing news. It would be awesome news. But this is better than that. You think about the birth of your kids. You think about your wedding day. You think about some of those neat moments with family and friends. You think about some of those accomplishments that you've had in your life. You think about the greatest news you've ever heard, and this is greater. And so I'll just ask you, when you heard that greatest news ever, were you happy? You were ecstatic. You were joyful. You were beyond happy. It was nuts. And sometimes I think we lose that feeling as we approach Christmas, as we think about what Jesus has done. He says, in other words, I want you to be happy. Rejoice that you've been forgiven, man. Rejoice that you don't have to live in the past anymore. Rejoice that they give you strength over the present. Rejoice that I've got heaven all taken care of. You know, sometimes I think when we think about Christmas, we think about the gifts we're going to get and all that kind of stuff that's under the tree. But to be honest, the real things that we want in life usually aren't under the tree. We usually want stuff like peace. Or we do want that forgiveness that lets us let go of that guilt. Sometimes we want reconciliation with somebody in our family that's just been broken for years. Sometimes we want assurance or comfort because of this great thing that we have to kind of deal with in this little bit, and it's scaring us beyond compare. We just want that comfort that God's got us. If you really got serious just for a moment during Christmas, the real things that you absolutely want are those kind of things. And so I kind of think as a way to celebrate Christmas, if we want to re-remember the joy, you should have a present under there that says, you're forgiven for X, and that you receive that gift, and that maybe you hear it anew because you're opening up that gift, and all of a sudden you can let that thing go, or I've got you, or a presence that says, you know, I'll be with you every step of this next year, or a present that says, I'm working even when you can't see behind the scenes for your good and his glory. Something that would address some of those real needs, some of those real pains, some of those real fears, some of those real hardships in your life, that you would get those presents. And when you open those up, maybe you'd re-remember just how amazing God is because of Jesus. But again, a lot of people miss that. They think, God, I don't know, some kind of cosmic killjoy, right? Standing up there waiting for you to deal a bummer. They think that church starts at 11 a.m. sharp and finishes at 12 p.m. dull, right? They think church is boring and that you can't smile at church. I mean, that's kind of been the thing. You're not supposed to smile at church. And if you do smile at church, God's not going to be in it. So be careful about that. And I asked somebody one time if they had fun at church. It's just one of the things I asked because I can't imagine coming to church and hearing all this and not having fun with that, right? I mean, I've just been forgiven. I've just been strengthened. I've just been redeemed, all those kind of things. And he said to me, he said, I don't come to church to have fun. I'm sure he meant he came to church to have, you know, find meaning or something like that. But as I was thinking about that afterwards, I thought, well, that's a bummer, man. Because somehow he missed the greatest news ever announced. You know, the gospel of Jesus. The fact that we're forgiven. The fact that we're strengthened. We have this new beginning through Christ. The fact that we don't have to live in the past anymore. The fact that he's got us. Somehow he missed the greatest news ever announced. Truth is, it's okay to have fun at church. When you come back to communion, you should have the biggest smile ever because God says, I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to be present with you in with and under the body and blood of Christ, right? I'm there with you. I'm giving you this big hug, reminding you that I've got you, that I love you, that you're forgiven, that you're mine. You can come up sad if you want because you're thinking about your sins. But when you walk back, you should have the biggest smile on your face, knowing that you've just been forgiven. It's okay to show it. It's okay to celebrate. It's okay to have fun. Can you imagine if one of my girls came to me and said, Daddy, I love you so much. I just want to live for you. I want to be the kind of girl you want me to be. I want to do what's right. And can you imagine me as a dad saying, I've been waiting for this moment. All right, you want to be a good little girl? Then I want you to sit in that corner and study math all the days of your life because you need a scholarship to go to college. And you want to be a good little girl? Then you eat spinach for every meal. I want you to be like Popeye, super strong. And I'm just going to test you periodically, and I'm going to break your toys. And if you cry, I'm going to break all your teeth out, right? Can you imagine me saying something like that? No, because that would be insane. But sometimes I think when we come to God and we say, God, I really want to be the person you want me to be. I want to take this stuff seriously. I want you to be number one in my life. So often people have this fear of what that means. Is he going to make my life miserable? Is he going to make me do something I don't want to do? Or like my buddy said, is he going to make me a pastor like you? I mean, just like, and they start equating being a Christian or taking God seriously as something that's a big old bummer when it's not. Christians should have the most fun of anybody I know because of what they actually receive. You know, the real gifts that are under the tree. In light of that, a buddy of mine went the other day to the bank and the lady said, man, you look like a pastor. And he says, no. I just got the flu. I'll get over it. So I want you to hear this as clearly as you can today. God says to you, I come to give you great news. The greatest news that you've ever heard, that you could ever comprehend. I'm coming to give you the gifts out of this tree that actually address real issues in your life, real issues in your heart, real issues in your stress and in your anxiety. See, God wants you to make the most of your life. He doesn't want you to waste it or abuse it, but he wants to make your life count. And so you should be counting on these promises of God and let it change everything as you move forward and have a blast with it. He wants to give you the gift of happiness. And again, I say that, and most of you guys are frowning at me right now. I don't understand. You should be excited about it. Let me give you another one. God gives us the gift of hope. And I know we changed our name to Hope, and I think it's an awesome name. It's a message that I think resonates with our culture right now because of so much of the chaos, so much of the uncertainty, so much of the weirdness. But God comes to us in this gospel, and he says, today your Savior has been born. What is it that you need saving from? Again, it's usually those heartfelt things that you think about. I need saving from all the stress and anxiety I'm having over some future event. I need that relationship saved because I broke it 3 years ago and I haven't figured out a way to put it back together. I'm going to see him on Christmas again, so that's awkward. I need saving from my past because I keep reliving it over and over and it's making me miserable and it's stressing me out and it's affecting my relationships today. What is it that you need saving from? Because today your Savior was born, it said. You know, a few years back, I got a Christmas card that said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. And if our greatest need had been technology, he would have sent us a scientist. And if our greatest need had been money, he would have sent us an economist. And if our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But he said our greatest need was forgiveness, and so he sent us a Savior. Let me ask you exactly, what does salvation mean then for you? What does it mean to be forgiven? What does it mean to be saved by God? And I think it means three things. First of all, it means forgiveness for your past. And I know we talk about that all the time here, but it's for actually receiving the forgiveness. You know, it's one thing to know that you're forgiven. It's another thing to experience that you're forgiven. And maybe that's why people don't smile on the way back from communion. They're so busy still rehearsing their sins that they forgot that they were forgiven. I mean, I don't know. But it's receiving the freedom and the peace that comes from letting the past go. From letting the shame go, the hurt go, the guilt go. Not that you don't learn from it or whatever the deal, but that you let that manipulation, that Satan just hits that button and you're spiraling back into that past event, reliving it for the thousandth sometime, reliving the hurt, reliving the guilt, reliving the shame, and letting people manipulate you because of it in the present. God says, I came to release you from that past, and that's got to mean something. And when you actually let him do it, there's a freedom and a peace that comes upon you that just kind of blows you away. It also means freedom from the present stupid stuff that we've been doing and the consequences we keep having. So think about that pet sin that you keep doing that complicates your life. Could be speeding on the freeway, although they used to give tickets. I don't know if they do anymore, so maybe that's not complicating your life, but whatever that pet sin is, right? And it's the thing that you know keeps messing up your relationships, keeps making your life harder. You have something that makes your pocketbook more difficult because you keep spending and spending. What is it that you need freedom from? And I know I kind of in joking way keep using Madden football, but I tell you, when I give that up, all of a sudden I get my time back. And I'm given an opportunity to get my relationships back. And I get my health back. And I get all sorts of stuff back that I just, when I get obsessed, I just lose sight of eating and hanging out with my kids and remembering the important things because I'm all wired up in this dumb game. And yet when I get freed from that, there's actually a freedom that comes into my life, a tangible freedom that allows me to re-experience life in a different way. And that's what God wants for you. This freedom from the present stuff that's complicating your life. He wants you to help you overcome. And then he also talks about his provision for the future, right? The fact that he's promised you heaven. It's not just that he's with you every single day. It's not just that he's working all things for the good, for your good and his glory. It's that he's got you all the way to heaven. a place that you'll reside for eternity, a place where he gets to hang out with you firsthand for eternity, a place where there's no sadness and no sorrow and no pain and no sin. Sounds like an amazing place. It's interesting, though, when I think about the word saving, I often think about lifeguards. And I spent my college years in California and stuff like that. And if you've ever seen a lifeguard go out in the ocean, it's kind of an interesting thing. They'll see somebody flailing and they'll swim out and they'll just kind of tread water around them for a little while. But they won't immediately grab onto that person who's drowning because the person is usually flailing around, moving his hands every direction, those kind of things. So if you try to save them at that point, while they're still trying to save themselves, they'll just pull you under, then you both go down, and that's not what you want. And so what they're taught is to go out, swim up by the person, and wait until they're out of energy. And when they're out of energy, and they give up, and they let go, and they start to go down, which is kind of a crazy thing, right? It's simple. You just put your arm around their shoulder, and you swim in into shore. So what's the application of that? As long as you're trying to save yourself, God can't save you. As long as you're thinking, I got this, I can do this, I can solve my problems, I got my own plans, I don't need God in my life because I got it all under control, I don't need anything else, I don't need anybody else's wisdom, I'm my own boss. And let's face it, that just doesn't sound like other people we know, sometimes that sounds like us. God says, go ahead and live that way. He says, I want you to notice. I want you to notice the frustration and the tension and the stress and the anger that comes up in your life when you're doing that. I want you to notice all the worry and the guilt and the bitterness and the depression that you seem to cycle through over and over and over. And then he'll ask, where do you think all that stuff comes from? It comes from trying to do his job. It comes from trying to live life, even though we know there's a God, trying to live life as if there's no God. And so part of the gift of Christmas is God saying to you, you can relax. You don't have to save yourself. I've got this. And then we can give up trying to work our way to heaven, and we can try to give up trying to earn points with God, and we can just kind of leave off trying to be the be-all and end-all of all our situations and all our wisdom. He says, relax and just receive my gift of hope. Unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'll ask you again, what do you need saving from right now? He's just saying to you this morning, whatever it is, guys, trust me, I've got this. And if God's got this, then there's never a time in your whole life where you have to go through things by yourself or without hope. And that word hope is kind of an interesting word. It's something that so many people in our world right now are living without. Evidences of that are the suicide rates that are going up, the medication that people are taking to try to resolve depression and anxiety and stress and worry and fear and all those kind of things. Those are just all off the charts in terms of record numbers every year. So many people are living without hope, but guys, you get it. You don't have to live as if God isn't real, as if he's not there. You can live with him, and it changes everything. And I'll give you one more. God's gift of harmony. It's another word for peace, but I need an H word. But anyway, he says this. Let there be peace among the people. And I want to say that in context of this, so hear me say this. We are living in post-election America, so I want you to think about these words again. Let there be peace among the people. I want you to say this again in the context of going into the holidays, spending time with family and friends that sometimes you have unresolved things with. Let there be peace among the people. See, God's desire through his gift of Jesus is that God wants you to have good relationships, obviously, with him, but he also wants you to have good relationships with other people. That's part of what it means to be a disciple, to share Jesus' love with everybody, even our enemies. He says, I first want you, obviously, to get your relationship right with me, but then right after that, my call to you is to get your life right and your relationships right with other people. And the truth is, Christmas has always been a time for reconciliation. Think about all the old Christmas movies you've ever watched, right? It's a time to break down barriers, to build bridges, to restore relationships that have been broken and damaged over the years. It's a time to say, I'm sorry. And it's a chance to say, you're forgiven. I think for many people, Christmas is a very tense time because it means, again, dealing with these relatives that you have unresolved issues over. But Christmas, again, is a time for reconciliation, for making things right, for giving and receiving forgiveness. Not only for you to get your act together, which is usually what we focus on, but to get your act together with those relationships. And this is the way it works. You get peace with God, so you and God are good. And then you get the peace of God, his strengthening. And then you get peace with other people. Truth is, God says, or Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, God reconciled us to himself, made us right with him through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling with those other people in our life. And I know as I talk about this, this is an awkward thing to talk about at Christmas, and some of you are saying, you have no idea what they did to be pastors. There's no way I could forgive them. And some of that's true, I guess, in the sense that that's why you need God. I mean, human forgiveness and love, it sort of wears out after a while. Why do you think there's so many divorces? Again, when we try to live without God, we're tapped at what we can do, and that's very little. The relationships just seem to make it more and more and more. Those that keep relying on Christ, keep relying on God to give them the strength, to keep on keeping on, to keep on preserving, to keep on showing love, knowing that if they can get through this, they can get to the other side of it. That's why you need God's love in your life. Because God's love never runs out, even sometimes when we feel like ours is. God has an endless supply of it. And then you start re-looking at the world in a whole different way, at your relationships in a whole different way, and all of a sudden you realize that with God, you can start loving people anew. And sometimes it's as brutal as this, but you're like, Lord, you need to give me the love to love that person right there because I'm struggling with it right now. I read about a guy one time that received a gift, or he received a gift 49 years ago, and he still hasn't opened it. Isn't that kind of awkward? Kind of weird? I don't understand why he did that. But can you imagine you give me a gift for Christmas, and then you come over to my house in 6 months, and you see your gift in the corner of one of my rooms. The tree's down, all the decorations are gone, but that present's still there. And you're kind of being a little bit smart, so you say, hey, how'd you like my Christmas gift right over there? And I say, oh man, I loved it. It was awesome, but I just haven't had a chance to get around to opening it yet. What would you think about me? That's kind of strange, right? The truth is, and the parallel is so many people go Christmas after Christmas after Christmas and never really open the gift that it's all about. Again, they're about the presents under the tree, but about the real stuff, I mean, the real presence that we need, that gift of forgiveness, that gift of strength, that gift of peace, that ability to say the words, I'm sorry, the ability to say the words, you're forgiven, to hear those things in your life. So often we go Christmas after Christmas and never really receive these things. But I don't want you to walk back from communion anymore without a smile on your face. I don't want you to know and not receive it anymore. I want you to give these things that God has for you and gives to you every single day, but certainly every single Christmas. And if you will open them this Christmas, may make for the best Christmas you've ever had. And that's my prayer. We pray it in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for Christmas. Obviously, it's a fun time of year. We get to see our brass and our praise team. There's decorations all over the place. It's exciting. We look forward to Wednesday morning or Christmas Eve, I guess, depending on when we open the presents. We got family and friends that are coming, and usually that's a good thing, too, and we get excited about seeing them. But Father, we pray today that you'd, as we think about the real things, you know, the things that keep us up at night, the real stresses, the real worries, the real guilt, the real shame, all those things, that we would hear anew your gifts, the gifts that say you're forgiven, the gifts that says I've got you and I've got this, the gift that says I'm working all things for your good and my glory, just hold on and keep on keeping on. The gifts that remind us that we can be happy, that we can have hope, that we can find peace with other people. Father, help us celebrate those this Christmas. And that's our prayer today. And we pray it in the name of Jesus again. Amen.